Okay, I want to welcome my Shir as well, who are joining us. I'd like to discuss, of course, Hilchos Chol HaMoed, which is a very vast topic. And what we'll try to do is get oriented just to get a sense of some of the basic categories, some of the main issues, and some of the marmakomos, so that hopefully Yishma Chacham Yosef Lekach, everybody will know what's a shayla, what's not a shayla, where to look, and how to intelligently discuss a particular issue relating to Hilchos Chol HaMoed. So, first of all, where would you find Hilchos Chol HaMoed, just to know where to look in Halacha? If you look in the Rambam, I mean, in the Gemara, much of the Hilchos Chol HaMoed is in Maseches Moed Katan. That's really why it's called Moed Katan, which is really a reference to Chol HaMoed, and the first two Prakim mainly, and then a little bit in the third parak, Ehud Galchin, and then it goes on to Nyanim of Avelus. In the Rambam, you look in Hilchos Yantif, starting in the middle of Perek Vav toward the end, and then Perek Zayin, Perek Ches, in Hilchos Yantif. In the Shulchan Aruch, it starts in Siman Tav Kuf Lamed, which is the sixth Chelg of Mishneh Berurah, and it goes all the way until Tav Kuf Mem Ches. So there's quite a lot in Shulchan Aruch about Hilchos Chol HaMoed. If you were to look at Shemir Shabbos Kilchasa, look in Chelg Sheni, Prakim Samach Vav, Samach Zayin Samach Ches, which is at the very end of Chelg Sheni of Shmiras Shabbos. There are also a lot of Likutim that you find, many Sfarim that have come out in English and Hebrew of all kinds, and you can find, of course, a lot of contemporary applications and issues relating to Halacha L'maisa in those Sfarim, but it's good to know where the Halacha is derived from. Okay. There's a common error that people have. People who don't really know, who haven't been exposed to learning, they just look at Chol HaMoed in a sense like, okay, so there's the first day of the Yantif, and then there's the last day of the Yantif, and everything else is completely Chol, and everything goes, and it's Kukhmi. This is an error. It's true that Chol HaMoed has aspects of Chol. When we make Havdalah, of course, from the first day of Pesach, first days to the Chol HaMoed, or by Sukkot, we say Hamavdil, the Shemoneh Esrei that we say Ma'ariv Shachris and Mincha is a weekday Shemoneh Esrei, but we add Yalav Yavo. Obviously, there's aspects of Chol. When the Torah describes the Yom Tovim in Pashas Emor, the Torah explicitly uses the term Mikra Kodesh with regard to those days which have Yisuri Malacha in a clear way, which has to do with the first and the last days of the Yantif. And there's no explicit word Mikra Kodesh used with regard to the middle days. So in that regard, you could say it's Chol, it's not Kodesh. However, Chol HaMoed has Kedusha. And we're going to see there's an Issa Malacha, how we explain it, and the basis and the severity of Issa Malacha, of course, has to be analyzed. But there's a status of Kedusha to Chol HaMoed. There's a reference, which is something of an allusion to Mikra Kodesh with regard to Chol HaMoed, and therefore there are many aspects of Kedusha to Chol HaMoed. Even though the level of Malach of Chol HaMoed is not identical to that of Yontif itself, but Rav Chaim used to say that the Kedusha is identical, but there's a heter Malach. In other words, it's not that the fact that the Malach is not the same Issa Malach, therefore the Kedusha, the Etzem, is less. Again, obviously you have to know how to take that. We do say Hamavdil Mikodesh L'Chol. Maybe that's because of the fact that the Issa Malacha is less. But Rav Chaim wanted you to understand that the Kedusha, it's the same Kedusha as Yantif. That's why the Musaf is brought throughout the Yantif. Therefore, because we know that Chol HaMoed has Kedusha and has special dinim, therefore we know that an Issa has been the Tainis on Chol HaMoed. That's also a Simin in Shulchan Aruch. There's a mitzvah of simcha. A simcha in terms of sukkah is kol shmona, mishnah in sukkah. When it comes to Pesach, there's a mitzvah of simcha each day of Pesach, all 7 days of Pesach. Which means what? What is simcha? Simcha means basa v'yayin. That means that it's encouraged that a person does enjoy good meat and enjoys wine, or maybe grape juice perhaps counts for wine. They should really try to have something every day of Chol HaMoed as well, to have a fleshig meal. Again, assuming that's something that you enjoy. Certainly, there should be some kind of a formality to the meal. It shouldn't be an eating on the run, like a Danish or whatever it is. There should be a chashivas. The Aruch HaShulchan writes that the tablecloth should be set on the table throughout Yantif, throughout Chol HaMoed as well. One of the aspects of Mikra Kodesh is dress. Covered by oneg in a formal way doesn't apply to Chol Moed to the same degree as the beginning and the end of the Yontif. But there's some darga, some level of covered by oneg based on Mikra Kodesh, which includes Ksus Nikia. This is something that's mentioned at the very beginning of Hilchas Chol Moed, Mishneh Berurah, the Sharet Zion emphasize this, and something apparently that we are sometimes lax in the communities that we find ourselves in. People dress casually like they would dress on a typical weekday. And it's really wrong. One should recognize that Chol Moed demands that you dress in a more formal way. Now, the Mishneh Berurah points out in the Sharet Zion, it doesn't mean that you have to wear the mamish, the big day Shabbos, and the big day Yontif that you wear typically by a regular, you know, the first and the last days of the Yontif, but it should be something above what you would wear during a regular weekday. There are those that go all the way. The Makan Avram brings that the Maril wore a special garment, that the Hasidim wear Shtraimo throughout Yontif, but Mikra Din, it seems that one should certainly wear something more chashuv than they'd wear during a regular day. And as Rabbanim, you should make sure to make that clear to the Baal Batin, that they should understand that it's a real halacha. And we'll see that it's an important idea because Chazal emphasized the union of not to be mevazeh the moados, which includes these types of aspects. Okay, let's go on to that actually. There's a Gemara. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos is Gemara about this. Rav Elazar Modoi Omer Hamachalel Es Hakodshim VaMevaz Es Hamoados, and so on. Ein Mochel Golam Haba. Very strong language the Chazal use. If someone's Machalel Es Hamoados, the Mefarshim take that to mean Chol Hamoed. The Bartanura writes, what does it mean to be Mevaz Es Hamoados? Either Osa Behen Melacha, which we'll talk about soon, or Noig Behen Minik Chol Bachilo Shtia. So even the fact that a person should show that formality in what they eat and how they eat on Chol Hamoed, that to the extent that that is not reflected in a person's conduct, that goes into Mevazeh Samoados. Rabbeinu Yonah points out, how do we know talking about Chol Hamoed? Maybe it means the Moados proper, in other words, the first and the last day. The Rambam is mashma a little bit that way. It says Rabbeinu Yonah because it doesn't say Mechalel Samoados, it says Mevazeh Samoados, which shows we're talking about something that Shach to be Zion, that has to do with Chol Hamoed, which lends itself sometimes to being mevazit, disparaging it. It's chol, after all, we say. A Gemara in a similar vein in Arbi Pesachim, called mevazit samodos ki oved avodazara. That's a sharp language, oved avodazara. We have to know what the significance of that statement. The Gemara darshins it in smuchen. It says, Elohim asecha lo sasalach. And then it says in Pashas Kisisa, eschag hamatzos tishmor. And the Gemara darshins that pasuk relating to Chol Hamoed, because it says afterwards, shivas yomim. One of the drushes we mentioned about Chol Hamoed is from that pasuk, Chag HaMatzos Tishmor Shivas Yomim, that all 7 days has an aspect of Issa Melacha, and it says, Elohei Masecha L'Sasalach, that means a person is Mevazeh Samoados, it has equivalents in the eyes of the Gemara to an Oved Avodah Zarah. So let's talk about Issa Melacha Chol Hamoed. This is really the vast subject that we have to delve into. What is the nature of Issa Melacha and Chol Hamoed? First of all, is it an Issa Doraisa? Is it an Issa Drabanan? We find many loopholes, you might say, many things which are mutter on Chol Hamoed, which are not mutter on Yontif, and certainly not on Shabbos. So what exactly does that mean? So there's a Gemara and Chagiga Daf Yud Ches, which presents numerous drushes to show that there's an Issa Melacha, in fact, on Chol Hamoed. Even though you might read the Pesukim and you wouldn't see black on white in the Chumash that says Issa Melacha, Kol Melacha Lo Sasu, when it refers to Chol Hamoed, it refers to the first day of Pesach, and then Yom HaShavi, Mikra Kodesh, not to do Melacha. Where do you see Chol Hamoed? And so to on Sukkot, where do you see it exactly? So there's five drushes mentioned in the Gemara there. Some of those drushes relate more specifically to Pesach, others relate to Sukkot, some that could be interpreted for both. For example, Eschag HaMatzos Tishmor, just alluded to a minute before, Eschag HaMatzos Tishmor Shivas Yomim. So it's drasha, Eschag HaMatzos Tishmor Shivas Yomim, that you have to be shomer mimalacha all 7 days. Another drasha in a similar vein, where you say, Gli Darshan regarding Sukkot, Kom Reches Avoda Lo Sasu Shivas Yomim. So he darshan smuchim that the Shivas Yomim goes on the Issa Melacha. There is another drasha that uses a Kavachomer, that you see that the day in the beginning of the Yontif didn't have Kodesh before it, and it's Asa B'Melacha. The day at the end of Yontif, the last day, didn't have Kedusha afterwards, and it's Asa B'Melacha. Alachas Kama Kama, what's in between? the middle days should be asa b'malacha. In fact, the Gemara, what about every sheshes yemei ha'maisa? It's sandwiched in between Shabbos. The Gemara is doche, the pircha. The Gemara sustains that kavachomer because we have a mikra kodesh idea, which therefore now with the kavachomer allows us to say that there is in fact a kavachomer to teach us an isa malacha in the middle days of the yontif. Then there's a drasha of Rabbi Akiva that it says at the end of all the moadim in Parshas Emor, Eila moadim Hashem hashetikro sam mikra'i kodesh. So here we use the word mikra'i kodesh as a reference to not just the days in the beginning and the end of the yontif, but to the middle days, intermediate days of Chol HaMoed. So you have here a reference of Mikra Kodesh to Chol HaMoed. Now, in all of these drushes, these four drushes so far that we mentioned, the Gemara doesn't get into the details about there being exceptions to the rule and not all Melachas are us, not all Mutter. When it comes to the last drusha, then the Gemara introduces something which is valid for everybody, that it's not as simple as it sounds, that there's Issa Melacha straightforward. The last drusha is in the Pasuk in Re'eh, So it equates the 6 days and the seventh day, and then the seventh day is asa b'malacha. So the fact that it goes into the seventh day and defines it as asa b'malacha sounds like that's true for everything until then as well. Sheishes yomim tocha matzos uvayom ashvi atzeres lo sas malacha, that even the days before Shvi are also asa b'malacha. But then the Gemara says, then you should say it's asa in every malacha. But then we say, no, Vayom HaShvi Atzeres. I mean, Shvi is distinct from the days prior to it, and therefore there are some melachos that are usher on Chol HaMoed, like on Shvi, and there are some melachos that are not. And then the Gemara ends with a very interesting sentence, namely, that Lo Misaron HaKasuv Elu LaChachamim, that the Pasuk hands over the autonomy to the Chachamim to make determinations which day is usher, which day is mutter. Rashi says that means based on the calendar, you have to know when Yontif begins and which day is Chol HaMoed, which day is Yontif, and as well as to know which malacha is mutter, which malacha is usher. Which is basically opening up a very interesting discussion. What does it mean? Lo misaron hakasuv elu lachachamim. So if you look in Tosfos on that sugya, in Chagiga Daf Yud Ches, Tosfos here, there, and other places in Shas as well, brings Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam feels that Iser Melacha B'Chol HaMoed is an Iser D'Rabbana. Mid Oraisa, there's no Iser Melacha in Chol HaMoed. Mid Rabbanan, we have Asmachtas, which these brushes all qualify as an Asmachta. The Chachamim use these Tzukim as a way to bring out their Iser. That's the Mesorah Kasva Chacham. The Chachamim made the determination, and they created their standards of Issa Melacha. And he has many rayas, we don't have time to go into it, very rayas to this inyan, that it's not an Issa d'oraisa. Mitzad sheni, there are many Rishonim who seem to hold that the Issa Melacha Chol HaMoed is a d'oraisa. And this is how the Torah assumes in the Rif, the Das HaRif. There's a long list on each side of this issue. If you look at the Bir Halacha, in Simen Tavkof Lamed, he tries to show you how it's almost evenly divided between those who say it's a Doraisa and those that say it's a Drabbanan. The Chinuch assumes B'dasa Rambam, that's Drabbanan. Others, Taina, maybe, but Rambam holds Doraisa. We'll see the Lashon of Rambam, perhaps. There are definitely Rishonim on both sides of the issue. If you hold that it's an Isser Doraisa, then it comes out a very interesting inyan. Misarna Kasav L'Chachamim. The Gemara still tells us that how do you know what's Asa, what's Mutter? Rashi mentions, for example, the heter of Davar Ha'aved. If you're going to lose money, so then those malachos that are going to involve chisaron of the principle, that's called Davar Ha'aved, those are permitted, again, within certain bounds. So that's, the Chachamim taught us that. But if the Issa is Doraisa, so how does it work? The Torah says it's Asur, then the Chachamim make determinations, Davar Ha'aved is Mutter. So you see here that there is a certain autonomy that the Psukim and the Torah gives to the Chachamim to flesh out the details. The Isser, when it's applicable, is Doraisa. The Chachamim are the ones who have the authority to tell you what it is that the Torah forbids. That's what comes out according to that interpretation, according to those Rishonim. There's another sheet of the Ramban, and the Ritva, I think, goes this way as well. The Ramban, in the beginning of Moed Katan, has a sort of a middle ground sheet. He says it depends on the following. Midah Oraisa, we're going to see certain klalim about Malacha. So when it comes to issues which are Tzorach HaMoed, if what you're doing is for the sake of Yontif, that would be Mutter Midoraisa. the Chachamim have certain limitations even on those melachas that are tzorach hamoed, as we'll soon see when it comes to melachas uman versus melachas hedyot. So we say that maisa uman is aser, maisa hedyot is mutter. So that's the Chachamim coming in and stressing that there's going to be things that are going to be aser midrabbana. When it's shilo, it's tzorach hamoed, it'll be aser doreis. That's the Ramban. Similarly, when it comes to davar ha'aved, the Ramban says when the Chachamim create certain things which are usr, even by Dabar HaAved, now Dabar HaAved is not always mutter, so then the Chacham will say you can't be machav and melach to a moed, you can't set it up in advance. We'll talk about this. The Chacham said you can't be mater Dabar HaAved if there's a lot of tircha involved. That's the Chacham. So midoraisa, there's a clear heter of Dabar HaAved. According to Ramban, there's a clear heter for Tzorach HaMoed. But then when we find pushback that within Tzorach HaMoed there's things which are usr, such as Maisa Uman. Within Dabar HaAved there are things that are usr, such as tircha yisera. And Mechavim Lachta Lamoid, that's the Drabbana. So that's how the Ramban lays it out. Again, so you have a very range of shitas about this question. There's some discussion in terms of Lamdis, according to those who say that's an Issa Doraisa. So what are the implications of that? If the person does Malacha on Yontif, there's Malkus, right? Not Misa. Misa is for Shabbos. For Yontif, there's an Onesh of Malkus. What would you say for Malacha B'chol Moid? Lo Shamanu. Lo shamanu that there's malchus from melacha b'chol moed. The question is why not? And there's a tumult in the Mitzchas Chinuch and others, Shagas Aryeh. Exactly why wouldn't there be malchus? Maybe it depends on the various drushes in the Gemara. And at the end of the day, though, Rabbi Yehuda, I think, talks about it. It's pretty much clear that you wouldn't take it as far as saying that there's malchus, even if you hold it's doraisa for whatever reason. Maybe we'll see soon possible reasons. Let's be magdir. Okay, also, maybe I mention it now, but I'll come back to it. The question of melacha b'chol hamoed has possible ramifications for the question of tefillin on chol hamoed, which is, of course, a major discussion in Hilchos Tefillin. Do you wear tefillin chol hamoed? Should you? Should you make a bracha, therefore, if you're wearing tefillin? Should you dafka not wear tefillin? We know generally the minhag hagro is not to wear tefillin, the Hasidim don't wear tefillin, but there are many of the Ashkenaz that don't wear, although the technical minhag Ashkenaz is to wear and even to make a bracha. So it's a big machokas bishonim, and Tosis in many places in Shas discusses this issue. One of the considerations is whether melacha b'chol moed is doraisa drabbanan. How so? Because one of the drushes that we have, I mentioned to the shir yesterday, one of the drushes that we have for why not to wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yontif is because tefillin is called an os, k'sharatim la'os al yadacha. So we say, mishat tzvichim os, only those days that need a sign, because there isn't inherently a sign in the day itself, then you wear tefillin. To the contrary, if there's already an os of the day, then it would be like a zilzil in the tefillin, or in the os of the day, to have tefillin, which is a sign. You don't need the sign of tefillin, you have the sign of the yantif. Okay, but what is the sign of the yantif? So you could say that the sign of the yantif is the mitzvah associated with the yantif, like sukkah, like either matzah, perhaps a kiyum mitzvah matzah, if we... You might say, or the Issachametz of Pesach. Or you could say that the Os associated with the Yantif is the Issa Malach. But wait, that would depend on whether you assume Issa Malach is Doraisa Drabbanan. So Tosis weighs in with this issue. Possibly, if Issa Malach is Doraisa, then you would argue that the Os of the Issa Malach is what patters from Tefillin and Asers in Tefillin. But if it's only Drabbanan, as many of the Bali Tosis hold, so then you could still say that there is a mitzvah of Tefillin. And again, this is something maybe we'll come back to later or not. It's an interesting inyan for itself to discuss vis-a-vis tefillin b'chol hamoed. Let's talk about the underlying idea of issa melacha b'chol hamoed, and then look at the various categories that we have associated with issa melacha. That Tosus in Chagiga Yudches brings a Yerushalmi, and this is one of the rayas that Tosus has, that issa melacha b'chol hamoed is only drabbanan. The lashon of the Yerushalmi is that klum asru the melacha ella the choshamo kidei sheyu ochin v'shosin v'yu yigain b'torah. So the Yerushalmi talks about someone who commented about the fact that people are not using chol hamoed in the right spirit because they're just hanging out and wasting their time. And the observation was, but klum asru b'melacha, the only reason that, quote, they forbade melacha, chol hamoed, was so that people would be focused on doing spiritual things and also indulging a little bit in the physical pleasures, but it should be for that focus, for that purpose of a simchas yantif and a ruchniyist component as well. But look what's happening, Pierre, that there's no ruchnias, it's just totally hefker. So meanwhile, Tosus extracts from that comment of the Yerushalmi that the issa melacha seems to be the Rabbanan. It says, kum asru b'melacha. It's not kum asru, the Torah forbade. What's kum asru b'melacha? This is what Tosus says, seems to support his shita, Rabbeinu Tam's shita, that it's only an issa d'Rabbanan. Now, according to the other Rishonim, let's say that it's an issa d'oraisa, the Ramban says, some cases, and other Rishonim would say, it's always d'oraisa. So what do you make of this lashon of the Yerushalmi? So again, you have to come back to the end of that Gemara Chagiga, that lo mesorin akasav el chachamim. The truth, the Torah asked him, but the Torah gave the chacham the autonomy to flesh out and to detail and to teach us what goes into the issa d'oraisa. That's the concept of lo mesorin akasav el chachamim. But now we notice the following. So let it be d'oraisa, let it be d'rabbanan, but what seems to be the rationale for issa melacha b'chol hamoed? Apparently, this Yerushalmi reveals to us that one of the foundational issues related to issa melacha b'chol hamoed is, if not the fundamental issue, that which we want to promote a certain spirit and a certain agenda for the day. The day should be defined in a particular way that would lead a person, first of all, to learn Torah and to have a little bit of a geshmak as well, to feel simchas yontif. That's the essence of what we want to promote for Chol HaMoed. To do that, they restricted melach. So if you look at, actually in the Lashon of Rambam, which, as we noted, the Chinuch thinks that the Rambam's shita is that it's an issed rabbanan, but then the Karen Ora says in the beginning of Moed Kadin that maybe the Rambam could even hold its d'oraisa based on what we just saw. The Rambam defines the issa melacha of the Chol HaMoed as the fact that it was he writes in the beginning of Perek Zayin, it's called Mikra Kodesh, he says. It was a time b'migdash that they brought karbanos, the chagiga, and he says it asa basiyas melacha kidei shelo yiyeh kishar yemei hachol she'en b'em kedusha klal. The reason melacha is forbidden, says the Rambam, is that it should not become like just any other weekday that has no kedusha. So you see in the Rambam that the notion of melacha b'chol hamoed and that why it's usher is that Chol HaMoed has to retain a certain distinct identity as being different from a normal Yom HaChol. Again, to reiterate what we said before, that's why it has to be reflected on many levels in terms of how we dress and how we relate to our meals on Chol HaMoed and in terms of the Issa Melacha as well. So again, Pashtas Rambam means Issa D'Rabbanan for that reason. The Karen Ora and the Moshe Sternbach even think that maybe the Rambam could be read as an Issa D'Oraisa with Misar Melacha Chamim, but it's based on the same Yesod. Now that we understand that the Yisod of Melacha b'Chol HaMoed is the idea of creating an avira, an atmosphere, that the day should be defined as a day which is different than ordinary Yom HaChol, it should be preserved as a holy day, it's a day that you make time to learn and you feel happy. If that's true, then we realize that much of the details and the categories of Chol HaMoed are going to have to be reflecting this general principle. Let's be magdim the following. The beginning of Hilchos Chol HaMoed, again, that first sif, the Mechaber starts as follows. Chol HaMoed asur b'ktsas melachos umutar b'miktsasa. That's the comment of the Yosef Cairo. So the way he even begins everything. Chol HaMoed is asur for some melachos and mutar for some melachos. What does that mean? So Mishnah Berurah begins to give us an orientation for much of what comes in the simanim that follow. Says the Mishnah Berurah, the melachos that are mutar b'chol hamoed are five categories. And we're going to explain each one. So he defines, the first he says is davar ha'aved. If you're not going to act now, then you're going to suffer a monetary loss. That's called davar ha'aved. Next, tzarchei ha'moed. When you're acting for the sake of the moed, which has really two categories, it's subcategories. One is if it's ochel nefesh, which is mutter even by Maisa Uman, as we'll see in a later simon. And then you have Tzorche HaMoed, that's not Ochel Nefesh, which is mutter only if it's Maisa Hedyot, not Maisa Uman, which is a later simon. So that's another two examples of things that are mutter. Then you have the example of Poel She'engo Mayochel, somebody literally cannot feed themselves. Then it's mutter to do Malacha for them, and they could do Malacha. And then you have Tzorche Rabim, Tzorchei Rabim is for the sake of communal needs, and examples, again, we'll get to eventually. And then you have, okay, so these are the categories, Yisparko Echad Bimkomo. Now, you can begin to recognize that the fact that these categories exist show you that Melacha B'chomer is not defined in the same way that we would think about, let's say, on Yontif proper. Because Yontif proper, a Melacha is a Melacha is a Melacha. So once it's defined as a Melacha that's Aser, then you don't have wiggle room. And it's basically, okay, there's obviously there are details, but the wiggle room here is much wider than you find by Hilchus Shabbos and Hilchus Yontif. And that's because it seems to be that the motivating factor for Isser Melacha, be it Rabban, be it Doraisa, is this idea of creating an Avira. So Lamasha, why would, we'll see soon from Rishonim, but why would Melacha Sa'aved be Mutter? Because to the extent a person feels terrible that they're going to lose money, they're aggravated not doing the Melacha. So they need to do the Melacha in order that they shouldn't have the aggravation knowing that they're going to lose a lot of money. And so it goes with Tzorchei Hamoed, and so on. It's for the sake of the Moed. To the contrary, it enhances the Simchas Hamoed. Given the fact that these categories exist based on the larger principle of creating a Navira of Yechol Moed being Kodesh in some way more than an ordinary weekday, it's very hard to medame milsa le milsa. It's very hard, even though we're going to have rough categories, it's hard to start extrapolating. The Chacham are the ones who basically had the free rein to tell you, this is us or this is Mutter. But it's not always a perfect science. The Chachamim might have all kinds of shikulim that you don't even realize the nuances involved. So they work within categories, but they'll tell you, this is us, or this is mutter. Now you say, oh, that's mutter, so the other thing must also be mutter. Not so fast. And this is a Gemara Mefureshes in Moed Katan. The Gemara says on the first paragraph, Yud Aleph, I think, Yud Beis, Hilchos Moed Hein Kehilchos Kusim Bahalacha, says the Gemara. The bottom of the Amud there, Amud Aleph, that Hilchos Moed are like Hilchos Kusim. What do you mean Hilchos Kusim? So Rashi explains that the Kusim were people who you can't always know what they took seriously, what they didn't take seriously. They were very makbid and very medactic on certain types of mitzvahs and certain types of inyanim, and they were very, more than Kal Yisrael even, regular Jews. And then other things they were totally lax about. And even though on the scale of what's, you know, hierarchy, what's important, what's not, you might say that, why are you hopping on this thing to be medactic on? But kachazeh, it was ad hoc. So too, says Gemara, when it comes to moed, you can't extrapolate. The Gemara goes on, he calls it the akuros. Akuros, Rashi says, Mugashan akara. A woman who's an akara can't have children. So that means you can't use this as a basis to learn from. If something is a melamed, means it has progeny. That if it's true over here, that it sets a precedent for something else to learn from. If it's a halacha that's considered a halacha akura, means that it stands for itself, and that is what it says. It says, this is mutter. So it is with Chol HaMoed. The chinuch has a different mashal. The Gemara says it's kehilchos kusim. The chinuch says the same idea in Mitzvah Shin Chav Gimel. He says, klau zeh yeh biyadecha. Hilchos moed are like hilchos shvusei Shabbos, which means, ein gacha ledamos lehotzi mehen davar midavar. By Shavusim of Shabbos, which ironically don't exist by Chol HaMoed, the Shavusim Muksa, for example, doesn't exist. Which things which are is Shabbos, you can't speak about Nit and Shabbos Geret, right? Things that are not for Shabbos, that doesn't apply in Chol HaMoed. Muksa is not a problem in Chol HaMoed, but Shavusim therefore don't apply Chol HaMoed. But the Chinuch uses the muscle. Shavusim Shabbos, you can't be Madame Milsa la Milsa. He says so too with Chol HaMoed. Pa'amim, Timsa la Rabbi Seinu, Matirin Melacha Kaveda Bin Yenachad. They might be matter something which sounds like a very serious, involved melacha. Upa'am yachmiru ala kala binyanachir. And then they seem to be stringent and say, this thing is us, or even though it seems like a very trivial type of thing. Va'alti tama al hadavar, says the chinuch, based on what I told you before. Ki ha-Torah lo asra v'lo itira b'chosha moed, el b'mashi eskimu heim. The Torah ultimately, the chinuch holds d'oraisa, remember, the Torah only was forbidding Melacha and permitting Melacha and Chol HaMoed based on what the Chachamim will determine. And therefore, you find by Shavusin as well. Sometimes the Chacham make a Shavus, Rabbanan on Shabbos, and even by Malkom Kares, they say, we're not yielding, the Shavus remains. And other times they say that by Malkom Tzorech, whatever it is, we're going to waive it. So too the Chol HaMoed. Sometimes the Cheshbonas go one way, sometimes the other way. You can't, therefore, extrapolate. Zechor b'ni talks to his son, klal zeh, shehilchos moed kehilchos shavusei Shabbos, she'ein donim behen davar midavar, which of course makes it very hard to ultimately get a full handle on these inyanim. So we do the best we could, and we try to be medame to the extent that it sounds like a perfect analogy, a perfect fit. But obviously, it's not going to be if you want to track the halachas themselves as recorded, you could have seemingly a kasha from this halacha to that halacha, and the answer is kacha zeh. The Chacham felt this act is mutter based on the shiko that they gave for that, and then they gave another sack for a different type of a malacha and said that's awesome. It's brought that the Tainus Bahab, I think, I saw Mishlom Zaman maybe quotes this in the Shmiras Shabbos, I forget who he quotes it from. Tainus Bahab that we find after Sukkis and after Pesach, right, beginning of Cheshvan, beginning of Iyar, is meant to atone for all the good Jews who find do malachas olamoy that they should not have done. Because inevitably, you make a mistake. As hard as it is to keep Shabbos and Yom Tov properly, it's just as hard, I guess, if not harder, to be able to know that you weren't nichshel and chol hamoed with something that probably should not have been done. So it's really not pashut. Let's, before we get into the actual categories themselves, one or other hadamah is in order. There is a very important variable that appears in the Gemara many, many times in the Sugyas and Moed Katan with relation to melacha b'chol hamoed. And that is the word tircha, excessive effort. And effort can mean in terms of physical strenuous activity. It can also mean in terms of the mental power that's involved, something that it takes up a lot of your mind and your focus. So it's a tircha. So the Gemara says, for example, the first Mishnah in Moed Katan talks about a case of the classic Dabar HaAved case is called Beis HaShalchin. Beis HaShalchin is a field that's constantly thirsty. It needs to be irrigated on a regular basis, otherwise it's going to disintegrate, it's going to get ruined. So it's permitted to be mashke, the Beis HaShalchin, in a certain way and not in other ways, depending on how you do it. If there's more tircha, then it's aser. If it's done in a way of less tircha, it's mutter. Now, what's the basis for the het Beis HaShalchin? It's davar aved. It's going to get ruined if you don't attend to it. But nevertheless, the Chachamim said it has to be done with minimal tircha, and that's the way they would kaveh the halacha. So the Gemara explains that on the base, based on the days, that Bishlam, the Gemara explains the basis of that din by Moed, and then talks about Shvius as well in the Mishnah. The Bishlam and Moed, Mishum tircha hu, uvimakum seda shal rabbana. It's based on tircha, and uvimakum seda shal rabbana. So you see, there's a basis of tircha. Rashi explains there, Dilo Asir, Bishum Malacha, El Mishum Tircha. There are various Gemaras later on also. One of the reasons given the Gemara Davches why you don't have a chasana on Chol Hamoed is because of Torah, because of Torah involved. The Gemara later in Daf Yud Gimel talks about the difference between Issa Chol Hamoed and Issa Malacha on Erev Pesach, and it says that when it comes to Moed, Mishum Tircha, Erev Pesach is in order to be ready for the Chag, and Chol Hamoed is because of Tircha. What does this mean? That the malacha has to do with tircha. The issa malacha has to do with tircha. So there's a comment of the Rav Yah, one of the Rishonim, in explaining that gemara that we mentioned before about hilchos mor kilchos kusim, and he connects it to tircha, and he says the following: Nirali, this that the gemara says that hilchos mordos kilchos kusim, and the gemara says lo mesarach elo chachamim leida what malacha is us what's mutter hakol taloi kidei sheyismach b'moed. It's all so that you'll be rejoicing on Chol Hamoed, based on the Yerushalmi that we said. Umitoch says Simcha, if you're feeling good about yourself. Noach lo lomod lov in Hilchos HaRegel, you have the frame of mind to be able to learn Torah and learn about the Yontif. Kidamina in Hashchina Shora elo mitoch Simcha, as we know. Hilchach, says the Rav Yah, given that that's what it's all about. Hecha di'ika tircha yisera asur. When you're exerting yourself too much, then it's a problem. Because the tircha is going to get under your skin. It's going to make you feel the opposite of the good spirit that a Chol Hamoed is supposed to bring out within you. You're going to feel aggravated from the excessive effort that you're putting, the preoccupied with that. And therefore, that's the problem of tircha. V'chein hitiru lasas melacha b'davar aved, or if you have nothing to eat, k'dei sheyeh sameach b'moed. So basically, the idea of why tircha seems to be so relevant from melachas b'chol moed is precisely because the excessive tircha is going to undermine what we want to achieve in terms of chol moed, which therefore creates a balance here between, you know, what we want to permit, the melacha b'davar aved, in the sense that you'll feel bad if you're going to lose the principle of money involved. On the other hand, the tircha involved, and you have to know how to balance that. Which leads us to the following question. What is the relation between malacha and tircha? When we talk about tircha, so tircha without malacha, for example, so that seems to be a mishnah in the Moed Katan. Let's say you're moving, you're doing a major move, and you have a lot of dishes and all kinds of furniture that you want to move from one apartment to another. So can you do it chalom oid? The Mishnah says you're not supposed to do it chalom oid. Now maybe you're not doing a malacha, but it seems to be, because that's the type of thing which is clearly associated with much tircha, that was declared as something that's awesome. So there are cases that are tircha related that are not per se malacha, but that certainly undermines what we want to get out of a chalom oid. What about a malacha that's without tircha, which is so nogeya in so many ways? So, lamashal, again, if you're not really thinking so much, you could do it in your sleep, you know, you happen to do something, you know, that you do just casually, would that be a problem on Chol HaMoed or not? So it comes up, let's say you go into the room and you put on the light without thinking, do you really need the light? Maybe you do, maybe you don't. Maybe it's light outside, there's a bay window and you see very well, but you put on the light. What was involved? Nothing with nothing. You lifted the switch. Is that technically a problem? You did malach and chol moed. You light a match. So elamai, you have to start thinking. Is it tzorach hamoed? Tzorach hamoed. That could be fine. But is it really tzorach hamoed? But then again, let's say you go on and off, on and off, on and off. So you don't have to do that. So this is a question that is still to this day not. It's decided halach lamaisa because minig ha'olam is to be meikol. That's clear. But if you look at the sources, it's not as clear-cut. There are makoros that clearly are matir, and there are others that seem to be mashma, that there would be a problem involved. So, for example, there's a tzad, Emet Bracha, is a Talmud of the Briska Rav. So he has the chidush based on a din in Shulchan Aruch Tov Kuf Mem, in Siv Beis, which mentions that if there's something uneven in the ground, and you even it out, on Chol HaMoed, so it's mutter. Why is that mutter exactly? So he assumes that because there's no tircha involved, you just simply smooth out the little rough surface, and that's not a big deal. Now, technically, you might say it's a bona issue in terms of hilchos lamites malachos, but what did you do? You didn't do anything with any type of effort, any kind of tircha. You don't have to do it with the shinui, and it's no problem because there's no tircha. So then he has kashas on this from another din, but this is his assumption, and this is how many assume. Rav Shlomo Zalman quotes in Shmir Shabbos Chelik Beis in one of the Ha'aris, in Perek Samaches, Har Pei Gimel, like the Emek Bracha, he brings from a Sefer Mishores Moshe, I forget who wrote it. His words are, Ein b'chol ha-moed, shum iser melacha machmas lesa de melacha. There's no iser melacha chol moed from the perspective of it being a quote-unquote melacha. Rak, kol masha asru, umasha itiru, hu, kidei ligdor, misses asay de simchas yantif. It's all about this issue that we've been describing to frame it. Does it enhance simchas yantif? Does it not? That's kovea everything. And if it's not defined by anything other than the issues that tircha relate to. Kol masha yesh basis malacha riba simchas yantif shari, kol masha yesh basis malacha menia simchas yantif mutter. So for him, there's really nothing to speak about from the perspective of the malacha per se, it's simply the other variable that's really playing out. Again, Chazal talk about different cases and tell you what's mutter, but the operating principle is not about what's technically a malacha. However, this is clear machokas. The Rishonim already seem to be perhaps machok on this question. Going back to the case with the smoothing out of the ground, that halacha, that din, which is the makor is a piskei tosis, that you can take a gafshushis and smooth it out. So there are the Gemara, I mean the Rishonim, some Rishonim in Yerucha maybe and others say, why is it permitted? Because it's a tzarach hayom. People could slip. It's not even. The ground isn't even. So it's a tzorech. That's called a tzorech yantiv, tzorech hamoed. Not because there's no tircha, but they have to find some heter of tzorech hamoed to permit it. Not the fact that just there's no Torah. Mitzad sheni, there are indications that just the fact that there's no Torah is enough. There's a me'iri. This is nogea, for example, hotzah. So hotzah without an eruv. So do you have to check your pockets like you do on Shabbos? If you're going out without an eruv, you have to make sure you're not carrying anything. If you're carrying something, it has to be something that you need. Should we be machmir like that? Generally, people are not machmir. They say the Chazon Ish was machmir on this, that he would always make sure he wasn't carrying something that wasn't l'tzorech hamoed. There's a Mefurish of Me'iri who says that Hotzah is not usher on Chol HaMoed. Now, you could say that specifically about Hotzah. Hotzah is called Malacha Geruah. The Gemara calls it Malacha Geruah. So maybe he only meant Hotzah. Or the Me'iri meant anything that's not seen as a Malach of Torah never went into the Cheshbon of Malachos of Chol HaMoed. So again, there is a Mashmos in the Bir Halacha that there would be a problem of Hotzah in Siman Tav Kuf Lamed Vav. So he talks about Mechamer. Could be, it sounds like there is an issue of Hotzah on Yantif, on Chol HaMoed. There's a Chayi Adam who writes in Kal Kuf Yud that kosher, now think about kosher, you make a knot which is a technical kesher, so kayama, that would be usher on Shabbos. How much Torah is involved? Not much. But if it technically is called kosher, would it be permitted on Chol HaMoed? If you would take your regard. So if it's Torah, okay, if it's a Torah, then it's fine. Tzorech hamoed, if you have to, you know, whatever, the garbage bags, whatever. But if it's not a tzorech hamoed, it's not tircha. So technically, Chayim says, it's one of those malachas that we have to consider a malach and chol hamoed. If you hold like the other side of the issue, we'll see a case of sending a little letter and things like this. So then there's no reason to think about tzorech hamoed. It's simply not tircha at all. So again, it's a big shayla. Again, the minhag ha'olam is clearly to make a hotzah and the like. And again, it could be very nogea any time you think about sending a chves, an email or a text. Does it always have to be justified through the prism of tzorech hamoed? Or if it's easy enough, you're doing it, you're not really distracted, you're just simply doing it like, you know, like you have to sleep, like half the people do anyway when you do this. So it's not necessarily a tircha. So again, does it have to be always through the prism of tzorech hamoed? That's the question. Okay, it's a question that continues to be discussed. There are those who want to be told at this issue in the machlokes of whether there's an Issa Melacha d'oraisa or d'rabbanan. And it's mashma that way in the Radvaz, in Chelk Beis Tavshin Chav Zayin, that if Melacha b'chomo is d'oraisa, then you ultimately have to also factor in the notion of a Melacha. Of course, there are permitted Melachas and things that are mutter based on the considerations that we have, and Tzorech HaMoed and so on and so forth. But technically, there is a notion of an issa melacha without those particular justifications that allow it. It's us. And if you hold that the issa melacha is drabbanan, then it's a whole new paradigm, and you don't have to even define it. Even if you define it as a melacha, if it's not going to have tircha, then it would be mutter. Could be, it depends on that issue, but it's not muchrach either. Shboi aleket is mashma that you could send a little letter of greeting, and it's not a problem to write a letter of greeting. Sounds like it's because it's not a tircha, it's like taking a walk, he says. And I believe the Shmuel Lekha holds that Melacha B'chomer is Doraisa. So you see that it can even go in the other direction. Okay, so again, it could be Nogea, all kinds of things, lighting a match, a ripping paper, that's not with Tzorech HaMoed. And in the case of the Gafshushis that I mentioned, the Shulchan Aruch, how to interpret it, and so on. If you're speaking on the phone, you always have to think about, do I need to make this phone call? Is it really important? I mean, if you think you have to make it, then it's probably Tzorech HaMoed also, but there are things that maybe it's not really a tzorech, you know, or it isn't a tzorech, but maisa, it's not a tircha either. Okay, let's talk about tzorech hamoed. Let's go various categories as much as we can get to. So when you have the heter of tzorech hamoed, okay, you have clearly a need that is related to the yantif. So now there's another restriction, as we already alluded to. It has to be a maisa hedyot and not what's called a maisa uman. These are based on Mishnayis in Moed Katan. If someone has to sew something, the Mishnah says that it has to be done in a way that's more haphazard, even though it's Tzorech HaMoed. But if it's a Maisa Uman, if it's a professional tailor that's doing it in a way that you can tell that it's professionally done, that would be forbidden on Chol HaMoed. So now, what defines something as that? And many Mishnayos talk about this issue, one after the other. Micah, the way you have a fence you have to build on your house. All that's again, Tzarech HaMoed. All kinds of cases that only mutter Maisa Hedyot. How do you define Maisa Hedyot versus Maisa Uman? What would you call changing a flat tire in Chomer? If you ask me, I think it's Maisa Uman. I don't know how to do it. But I think most people probably say you don't need a mechanic to do that. So is it about, you know, who can do it? How many people can do it? Does it take a certain type of professional person? Does it have to do with the product itself? Tires, putting a tire on, okay? You have to know exactly how to put it on. But there's nothing that's fancy about a tire is put back on. Change the tire. So there's a question that goes back to the, you know, when you don't remember this, but it's again today as well for printers. The question that was originally discussed was what was called Polaroid cameras, which before we had digital cameras, we had film. But then there was one chiddush called a Polaroid camera. Film you had to develop afterwards. You took the film to Kodak or whatever, and they would develop the pictures. When I was a kid, that's what we had. Kodak, you know, Rochester, over Shalom, right? That's not, we don't have it. Maybe they moved to digital. But meanwhile, the Polaroid cameras, they're not as good as the digital and what we have today, but you could press a button after you take the picture and you literally see it prints out, the camera prints out the picture that you just took. So the question was, is that allowed on Chol HaMoed? Why? Tzarech HaMoed might be there, but it has to be Maisa Hedyot. Is this called Maisa Hedyot, Maisa Uman? So Mitzad Echad, anyone can push the button. You don't need to be a Chacham, you know, a rocket scientist. You can be anyone, push the button and then the picture comes out. So how can you call Maisa Uman? The other hand, if you look at the product, so, you know, it has a professional look to it. That may be enough to call it Maisa Uman. So Rav Moshe thought it was not called Maisa Uman because anyone could do it, that's called Maisa Hedyot. And Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky thought that the fact that it has appearance, that has a professional touch to it, that already classifies as Maisa Uman. So why is this a gift for us? We don't have Polaroid cameras, but we have printers. So suppose you're working on the computer, and we're already going to talk about Tzarech HaMoed. It has to be Tzarech HaMoed, obviously. So is Tzarech HaMoed, whatever it's called, Tzarech HaMoed, you're working on the computer. So that's one level. But now if you want to print, and you say it's Tzarech HaMoed, you want to print it with Tzarech HaMoed too. But if it's a Maisa Uman, you couldn't do it. Because even if it's Tzarech HaMoed, Maisa Uman is a problem, even when it's Tzarech HaMoed. So if you go with Rav Moshe, I imagine if you equate Polaroid cameras, what printed out from the Polaroid camera to the printers today, that Moshe would say, if anyone can do it, even kids can know, they push the button on the computer, print, and there it is. That's Maisa Hedyot, that's not Maisa Uman. If you take the other perspective, then you have to consider the possibility that this is really a problem, and therefore, Poskim would try to say, if you don't have to print it, you know, even if it's Tzarech HaMoed, try not to print because of the possibility that it's a problem to print, because it's Maisa Uman. So then save it on the computer, print it after Yantif. There's another detail that comes up with the Gea Maisa Hedyot and other things as well, and that is the importance of doing it Bitsina. Because not everybody knows that what you're doing is Tzarech HaMoed. So again, given the fact that the Heter of Melacha is, and what's Aser B'Melacha is about appearances, and the Avira, and how you present yourself on Chol HaMoed, so the Chazal required, many of the examples that Mishnais tell us, that you can do it, but you can do it Bitsina. If you do it Bitsina, it's different than doing it in a public way. And again, it's born in Shulchan Aruch Tav Kuf Lamed Gimel Sif Hey Kol Melachos Sheim Litzorech HaMoed Kishe Osim Osam Osim Bitsina. Says the Mishnah Berurah, we're talking about only those Melachos that it wouldn't be obvious to the person seeing you that it's Litzorech HaMoed. And therefore, if it's, let's say, a situation where everyone knows it's Litzorech HaMoed, let's say you're selling food, which is clearly for the Moed, then you don't have to worry about Bitsina for Hesya because everyone knows it's Litzorech HaMoed. This is therefore another condition. It has to be Maisa Hedyot, and it has to be done often Bitsina. And one other very important restriction on the Heter called Tzarech HaMoed, and that's called Shelo Yechavein Melachto LeMoed. This is going to be a biggie in the Gea Dava Avid as well. Just because we have the Heter of Melacha for Tzarech HaMoed doesn't mean that therefore you can know in advance that I'm going to do on Chol HaMoed this activity with Tzarech HaMoed. If you can just as well have done it before and you know it. Not just that you were stuck. You could have done it, but then l'maisa you didn't, and then you have to, you know. That's not called mechavin melachta l'moed. L'maisa you could have done it, but what mechavin melachta? Here, you literally put on your calendar. You put it on your calendar. Comes chol moed, that's the time that I'm going to do this activity, and it's going to be with tzorech ha-moed. But that's not allowed. Just like it's not allowed by Dava Av, it's not allowed by a tzorech ha-moed case either. And, okay, that's... And the issue is because it's a zilzu in moed. Lashon ha-chinuch there, ki lo lasok b'malacha hukvu yamei chol shel moed, ki l'smach ofnei Hashem, Now, when I say this, it's important to recognize I'm talking about Tzorech HaMoed in general. When I speak about Tzorech Ochel Nefesh, now already it's different. The Tzorech HaMoed is general Tzorech HaMoed. Tzorech HaMoed. That should not be Mechad Melachta L'Moed. When it comes to Tzorech HaGuf, we'll see about that, and Tzorech Ochel Nefesh, to the contrary, no one tells you can't cook on Chol HaMoed because you're mechav melachta l'moed. To the contrary, Ochel Nefesh doesn't have the problem of tircha. Ochel Nefesh doesn't have the problem of Maisa Uman that we just talked about. You could be a chef. You could bring in all your chefs and to cook the greatest menu that you have, Litzorech, either Chol HaMoed or the last days. You go to a hotel and you see it happening all the time and it's totally appropriate. This is no problem. It's exactly, Ochel Nefesh permits it all. It could be b'farhesia. All these restrictions that we're talking about by tzorech hamoed, b'tzina versus b'farhesia, ma'isa hedyot versus ma'isa uman, it shouldn't be mechad melachta l'moed. That's by tzorech hamoed b'chlal. But when we talk about ochel nefesh, then there's no problem of mechad melachta, no problem of b'farhesia, no problem of ma'isa uman, and no problem of tircha, because that's gufa for ochel nefesh. There's something called machshirei ochel nefesh. Like, let's say you have to fix the oven in order to bake. So that Shulchan Aruch brings can be done with Ma'isa Uman as well, but not if you're Mechavi Melachta L'moed. You can't arrange for your oven to be fixed because it's convenient to have him come to fix it on Chol HaMoed. If it's before Yontif, so you make your appointment that it should be done. If it's not, that's the Ochel Nefesh directly, it's the Machshirei Ochel Nefesh. Okay, there's a lot of details here. Shulma Zalman has an interesting case I saw mentioned. Let's say the following case. Let's say your air conditioning breaks and it's very hot. So that, can you bring a professional in? Absolutely. Because that's like a Tzorech HaGuf. That's even a Ma'isa Uman, but it's more than just Tzorech HaMoed. That's fine. Try to do it maybe more B'tzina, he says, and more B'farhesia. Anything that has to do with Ochel Nefesh, like the refrigerator that breaks, that's permitted by Ma'isa Uman. If the faucet, something happens to the faucet in your kitchen, so now you have to bring a plumber or someone professional, Shlomo Zalman says, well, you have a faucet in the bathroom. What do you need the faucet in the kitchen? So he would not permit, that's what I think I saw in Shmuel Shabbos, Ha'ara Samach there, Perek Samach Vav, not to use a professional plumber to fix your faucet in the kitchen. If you have another faucet, maybe you could tie it that's hard to use, you know, the bathroom one. Okay, you have to know, ask a shayla if it comes up. So we talk about Tzorech Ochel Nefesh, and that's permitted b'derech klal, even with, you know, even with Mechav Melachta, even Ma'isa Uman, and so on. There's something called Tzorech HaGuf, I alluded to before with the air conditioning case. Tzorech HaGuf is also something that we're matu with Ma'isa Uman. So it's not Tzorech HaYantif, Tzorech HaMoed, Tzorech HaGuf. The Mishnah says in Daf Ches that a woman can do things to herself with beautifying herself with all kinds of mascara and things like this for Tachshita, B'moed, because that's Kishut HaGuf, and that's equivalent to Ochel Nefesh. So that is clearly also permitted just like Ochel Nefesh is. The Ramban brings a raya to this, because we'll see maybe in a few minutes, there was a separate from these Melachos that are Aser, the categories of Melacha, there are Gzeros HaChamim had for Chol HaMoed. For example, not to do laundry, Chol HaMoed, and also not to get a haircut, Chol HaMoed. Not to shave, not to get a haircut. And that's a separate gzera that the Chachamim made, that a person should not, therefore, go into the Moed, not having taken care of these things, not having done their laundry, not having taken their haircut before Yontif, so they made a gzera. And then there were exceptional cases that they said were permitted. Why do you need to come on to a gzeira, says the Ramban, l'chor, it's a ma'isa uman. To go to a barber is a ma'isa uman. He's a professional. So l'chor should be asur mi'ikar hadin. Why do you need to come on to a new gzeira? answer is because no, because this is called tikkun haguf. This is like an a tzorech haguf. Tzorech haguf is mutter even by ma'isa uma. So therefore, for example, anything having to do with your bodily needs, washing with soap, brushing your teeth, fixing the toilet, I guess you could say, if you have only one toilet or you need extra toilets. So these things are ma'isa uman, correct, but that's a tzorech haguf. You need it for your functioning. That would go into the notion of tzorech haguf, and therefore it's mutter even ma'isa uman. You can call the plumber for that, but not necessarily for a broken faucet if you have another faucet. Okay, so that's kind of the basic rule. There's an interesting discussion I saw machlokes various contemporary poskim about doctor visits and cholamoid. Rav Moshe does not feel that person should make special b'machavim melachto to go to their dentist or doctor unless there's a pre-existing condition that has to be treated. That's different. Because that would be, of course, tzorech haguf. But just for a routine cleaning and something like that, Rav Moshe felt it's a zilzal in the moed. Again, if there's a toothache or anything that's either a pre-existing condition or something suddenly comes up, that's obviously mutter. But just as a routine type of a checkup and the like, Rav Moshe thought in Chel Gimel Or Chaim Ayin Ches, I think that's where it was, he says would be usur. He says that fixing your glasses, on the other hand, would be mutter. Meshulam Zalman also was inclined not to be matir necessarily to go to a dentist. Unless maybe you can see the benefit coming right away. So since it's tzorech haguf, you see right away that you feel a benefit. And how you define that exactly, you feel your teeth are better, they're cleaner, I don't know. But many poskim are makel. Many poskim say in Eretz Yisrael, if Scheinberg I heard is makel, even Rav Yashiv was makel, because they say if it's a refuah related thing, that's automatically mutter. They have a sif in Shulchan Aruch that mentions the case of refuah that they compare it to. And they assume that if it goes into the head of tzorech haguf. So again, the HVH, you have to know. I think if there would be about whitening teeth or straightening teeth, I don't think they would go that far. But if it's a routine cleaning, they would consider that to be a tzorech haguf, that you could therefore be mechavi melachto and work it out. So again, it's a shaila. A couple of shailas that we could think about before going to Davar Aved. You're going on a trip on Chol Moed and you're going to go fishing. Or you're going to pick apples. So it's a great activity for Chol Moed. It's a lot of fun. Now, how many apples can you pick? How many apples can you pick? So realistically, you can only eat, you and your family and whoever else, you're going to eat how many apples between Chol Moed and the rest of Yontif. You can imagine, how many apples could it be, conceivably. It doesn't have to be a mechuyev to eat it all up. But if you're clearly going to exceed that, but you're enjoying your activity of picking apples, but you know clearly you're picking apples that are going to be nogea, not to eat, you're going to be eaten for after the moed. So what would you argue? So some posts can think, well, wait a second, if it's only mutter and tzorech haMoed, then as long as it's shayach that you'll have it, enjoy it over yantav, that would be allowed. But anything that's clearly over that amount should be a problem. Rav Moshe, I thought, was meiko because the activity itself is enjoyable. So the activity is tzorech haMoed. The more you fish, the more you feel good about fishing. Whether you catch more fish, but it's not just the fish that you catch, it's the fishing process, the experience, and so it is with picking apples. So it could be you could use that svara as well. Another example to think about, just basic cases. Can you vacuum your house? Can you clean your floors on Chol Moed normally, a normal type of a cleaning? Of course. That's not a big deal. It's Tzorech HaMoed, obviously. So it's Tzorech HaMoed to have a neat house. What about to have your floors done? To have the, polished? Of course not. That would be Ma'isa Uman. And the chayra, that would be usur, even if though you say, I'm going to, it's an tzorech haMoed, maybe it is, but it's ma'isa uman, to do a painting in your house on Chol HaMoed, clearly usur. Even cleaning windows, which is done, let's say, once every few weeks, so like, to make your week should be a Chol HaMoed week, I think would be a problem. It's like b'chavim lachta l'moed, I think. So basically, general home improvements should not be done on Chol HaMoed. But Moshe, I think, they bring the pesach for Moshe even to bang a nail into the wall with a hammer so that you'll put a picture on that wall. If it's not mamish tzorech haMoed, hard to know what would be called exactly tzorech haMoed, but if it's not mamish tzorech haMoed, he would, he thought maybe it was a problem as well. Okay, let's talk about Davar HaAved. David Ami is a very broad category. Simon Tav Kuf Lamed Zayin and Tav Kuf Lamed Ches. It starts from the beginning of Moed Katan. When you go in Moed Katan, the first thing you're going to hit is about Beis HaShalchin. As we alluded to before, that's a case of Tzorach of Dava Ovid. Now, Mitzad Echad, Dava Ovid is a category of Heter, even if it's going to be a Maise Uman generally, assuming the Hefzid is a Hefzid Meruba. If it's Dava Ovid of a Hefzid Muah, then we try to be limiting it to a Maise Hedyon. But if you hold that it's a real Hefzid, major Hefzid that's involved, you can even have a Maise Uman. And it can even be low Tzorach HaMoed. Dava Ovid is a category that's matter even low Tzorach HaMoed. However, the pushback on Dava Ovid are two things. One is Tircha. If it's excessive Tircha, Chazawa, not the matter given cases of Dava Ovid, if it's too much Tircha. And secondly, the big no-no is Kivei Melach Tov HaMoed. If you Dafka set it up in advance to do that Dava Ovid on Chol HaMoed, that would be a problem. That they concert you, it says, they take away your assets, and maybe the child as well. So therefore, these are the issues involved on one hand and the other. Now, regarding Tircha, so that's what we mentioned, Beis HaShalchin case. If there's not too much Tircha, that way they allow you to irrigate the field, other ways not. What does it mean to lose? We're talking about not losing principle, not minyas harevach. We're talking about losing actual principle. How do you balance the issue of Tircha and the issue of Hefzid? This is quite a challenge. There's a Gemara. The Gemara talks about the following, and Daf Yud Beis, right before that Gemara, or that connection to that Gemara of Akuros Hain, that Hilchos Chol Moed are very much, you know, each one is ad hoc for itself. So Lamaso, the Gemara says, let's say you have two barrels. One is a small barrel, like a pitcher, and you want to insulate it, so that what's inside is not going to get lost and seep out, and you have a bigger barrel that you want to insulate. Now, from the perspective of Tircha, which is more Tircha, the larger barrel. From the perspective of Hefzid, which is greater Hefzid, the larger barrel. So the larger barrel has something going for it, that the Dabra HaAvid component is greater because of the Hefzid. But on the other hand, the Tircha is greater. So there's a Shaila. Which do you permit? You permit insulating the small barrel because it's less Tircha, even though it's less Hefzid? Or do we permit not the little barrel because it's not that much Hefzid? So they only permitted the larger barrel, even though there's more Tircha. So the Ramban has a lashon over there connected to that Gemara. By Dava Ha'aved, Shia Rubo, Torach, Kineged Hefzid, the Hefzid Kineged Torach. So Chazal have to do an evaluation of competing issues here. The Hefzid Kineged Torach, Torach Kineged Hefzid, net result is we'll make our psak based on what we think should be overriding here. Should we be more concerned about the Hefzid component and less about the Tircha involved? Should we be more concerned about the Tircha involved, minimize the Tircha, and be matter even less Hefzid? When you have a heter of Dava Ha'aved, it can be even done, I talk about this issue of getting paying for the work, it can even be done b'schar. The Ramah says in Tavkuf Membeis, Dava Ha'aved Mutar Lasos Avil B'Shar Katsuv. The Halacha says better use a non-Jew, not use it if you could. If you can't, you can use a Jew as well. Again, if it's a Hefzid Gadol, then even my Se'uman is Mutar. If it's a Hefzid Katan, Hefzid Muad, then we only would normally permit a Maise Hedyot. This issue of Dava Ha'aved could come up L'Holcho Maise, for example, for people who work generally Monday through Friday. So maybe they take off on Yontif in the beginning and Yontif at the end, but if they take off too many days, they could jeopardize their work. Let's say a person is at risk with the boss or whatever it is of losing their job if they take off these extra days. So that would be a clear-cut heter dava ovid to go to work in Chol HaMoed. Because, again, if their livelihood is at stake, they're going to be losing, who knows what's going to happen if they lose their job. So that would be clearly, the dava ovid would be the way to be matir going to work on Chol HaMoed. I saw a contradictory psak b'shem Rav Moshe, so I'm not going to be machria, but I saw in one sefer quoting Rav Moshe on the same case to be matir as Dava Aved, in the other case, the opposite. I'll leave it for your chavis das, how you'd be done in a case like this. A person wants to work Chol HaMoed in order that they could have more vacation days, specifically in the summer, to go to a Yarchi Kala. So if they work Chol Moed, they'll be able to attend the Yachikala by using the vacation days for that. If they don't work Chol Moed, they won't be able to attend the Yachikala. Does that constitute Davar HaAved that will permit them to work on Chol Moed? What is called Davar HaAved? So again, you know, how do you define it? You know, if there's an opportunity that you're going to lose, and there's no way to retrieve it, that's a Davar HaAved. So pictures, taking pictures, Chol Moed, a lot of poskim say that you're not going to be able to have that opportunity. Family gets together, and from all kanfus haaretz, right? You know, and everyone's there for. So if you don't get the shot on Chol Moed, you know, so what's going to be? So that could be a Davar HaAved halacha. Tzorach HaMoed, I don't know, but Tzorach HaMoed, exactly, not going to the picture right now. They can enjoy the picture right now to look at it, but Davar HaAved, maybe you could say. Maybe that. Sivas Chidushi Torah. The Taz has a Chidush, because the Taz, maybe others bring it as well. If a person wants to write down the Chidushi Torah on Chol Moed, absolutely. Why? Because you have to learn all the time, and you're going to have more chidushim to write after Yantif. So the chidushim of Yantif, you're not going to have if you don't write it on Yantif. So if you want to write up your shir, whatever it is, it's clear davar aved. So he counts that as davar aved. There's a tshuva in Shutman Hashemayim. One of the Bali Tosas had a question. It's a fascinating sefer where he had questions he put under his pillow, so to speak, and he got answers in cryptic ways. And it was all kinds of shilas that you find in Rishonim. And it's written as Shut Min HaShemayim. So he had a question about writing Chidush Torah on Chol Moed, and he got an answer, and he interpreted the answer to mean also that it was Mutter. Davar HaAved, again, if we go back to the issue of Tircha, and we say that lack of Tircha does not per se permit. You need if it's a Malacha, there could be an issue. So anytime you walk into the room, you have to know, are you allowed to put the light on? Is it Tzorach HaMoed, is it not? At the end of the day, can you close the light? So if you hold that tircha, no problem. Then there's no problem at all. But if you hold that, no, you have to define it in some way, tzorach hamoed. What's the tzorach hamoed? To close the light? Leave the light on. So some say, I think maybe Rav Karelitz in B'nai Brak says, that's a davar aved. You're paying your utility bill. So if you're going to leave the light on, you're going to have to pay that much more money for the lights that are on for the extra hours. So that's the basis of why you can close the light at the end of the day. Because that would be a loss of money otherwise. So then someone timed what would be at the end of Chol Moed before the last days to close the cell phone. Is okay or not okay? So again, if you go with the approach that it's casual, it's not a tircha, then say it, no problem, close your cell phone. That's, I think, of Shem Zaman Orbach's son. Orbach says, no tircha, no problem. If you hold that, no, you have to measure the issue. Is it malacha? You're doing a malacha. So then what would be the issue? The battery, the loss of the battery is going to be drained, that would be a loss of money. I don't know. Could be. But not the same as like a light. But okay. Okay, that's Davar HaAved. Tzorachei Rabim is a whole other category that we mentioned in the beginning of Hilchos Chol Moed. The Mishnah Berurah mentioned Tzorachei Rabim. The Mishnah, beginning of Moed Katan, makes this clear that you can, on Chol Moed, you can do what? Says the Mishnah, Misaknin Osinisa. All the misaknes kekuli hamayim shebishus harabim and cases of public service type matters va'osin kod tzorchei harabim. So all kinds of tikkunim for the public can be done on Chol Moed. Yushalmi has other cases that it calls tzorchei harabim, interesting cases in Yushalmi, Ashkelas Sota, Rifas Ega, with C.S. Eved Ivri, interesting way of viewing that. What's the basis for the heter of tzorchei harabim? The Rosh brings b'shem harayvid, because the notion called kedera de beishutvi. What's kedera de beishutvi? If you have a pot and you have two partners, everyone says the other is going to do it. And mele, nobody does it. So basically, these things never. We're talking at a time that there was no official, municipal authority that takes care of the garbage and takes care of the paving the roads. So basically, people have to step up and volunteer. Everyone says Yenim's going to do it, not me. So mele, nothing ever gets done. So when people are off, that's the best time to take care of these things. So bedafka, this is the perfect mechavim l'achtel amoid, that's mutter. Typically, mechavim l'achtel amoid is the problem case. You can't have mechavim l'achtel for davar ha'aved, for tzorach amoid. But here, to the contrary, it was a special heter to set up the time which is appropriate to deal with the issues when everybody is free and nobody can shirk the responsibility, and that's when it gets done. So therefore, it's done with Bifarhes, it's done with Tircha, and so on. And it's even not with Tzarech HaMoed, right? Because this is exactly the need that we need to deal with. The question is Maisa Uma, not so simple. So it could be it's a machokes, it seems to be a machokes. Tzarechi Rabim, some want to distinguish between Tzarechi Rabim that are really directly relevant for the Guf HaAdam, but that would be one thing, like if someone could slip Chas V'Shalom outside, they have to pave the road. That's one level, Tzarechi Rabim, that we could even use Maisa Uman for. But if you have Tzarechi Rabim, like building a shul, a Dvar Mitzvah, Tzarechi Rabim is a communal issue. So Stam is like anything goes, you can build a shul and a Chol Moed, not so pashut. That already could be Maisa Hedrit yet, Maisa Uman not. That could be, that seems to be an issue in the Ramah, B'Shem Tshuvas HaRashba. If it's paving the derech to the Beis HaKnesses because people have to, you know, have to be able to walk and it's not easy to get through, that's a different story. That's better. So therefore, you couldn't necessarily build a shul or just do a dvar mitzvah during Chol HaMoed. The Aruch HaShulchan writes in this connection, Yesh levroach mipnei haterim sheyesh behem zilzul moed. Run away from the terim, quote unquote haterim, that come at a price of zilzul of the moed. You see how sensitive we have to be to preserve kedusha of Chol HaMoed. An example of a contemporary example of Tzarechi Rabim, they bring an elevator that breaks. So this is for the public. This is not your own personal thing. A public elevator, you need to get a professional company come in and fix the elevator, but people have to go up in the building. So then it's hard for people and everyone to use the stairs. That would be an example of being Matir Tzarechi Rabim. Rav Shlomo Zalman discusses cases of like a bus, is it Tzarechi Rabim? Taxis? No, taxis is also a good question, right? Taxis for a different issue, because April 15th. But the taxis, if you can get a bus, so that already serves the public. You don't need the taxis to go work on Chol HaMoed. On the other hand, people know that taxi can be a fraction of the time, and people don't want to take the bus, it takes much longer. Maybe that is enough to quote Tzarechi Rabim. Okay, the Rabim has a distinction between digging new things, which are mutter tzarech hamoed, only tzarech hamoed, and fixing things which are already existing, which he thinks is mutter yimshol tzarech hamoed. That's an interesting Rambam. Tav kuf mem hei, the next simon, talks about writing Chol HaMoed. What is the issue of writing? We always hear people say, you know, oh, can you write with the shinoi? Is it really necessary or not? There's a minute people try to write with the shinoi. The etzem, the issue is it maisa uman or is it maisa hedyot? And the answer is, pashtus, what type of writing are we talking about? We're talking about a malacha ksiva. So, good, Tzarech HaMoed needs to be there. Not Tzarech HaMoed, you can't write. Not Tzarech HaMoed. What's called Tzarech HaMoed? You know, as long as you want to remember something, that's called Tzarech HaMoed. You don't have to be like a perfect, you know, in imuchen mezuman. No, as long as it's something that's obviously relevant for you right now and tomorrow, whatever, that's Tzarech HaMoed. But it has to be Maisa Hedyot, not Maisa Uman. So what's called Maisa Uman? So pashtus, the way it seems to be brought, if it's calligraphy type of writing, someone who has a certain way of writing, you know, it looks like something that's professional, not everyone can do it, it has a certain appearance, that would be a problem even when it's Tzarech HaMoed. If it's just like we write, so then it's not really a problem, but pashtus, you can write things that are necessary for yourself. The question that we discussed, whether it's a Shmoy Aleket that they all quote, to write a letter to somebody, a letter of greeting. He says it's fine. With regard to a computer, so that's what we have to discuss. If you're printing something, then if you view printing as Maisa Uman, then you have the issue of a problem. If it's not called Maisa Uman, then Tzarech HaMoed would be enough to also print. If you're sending a text. So again, Tzarech HaMoed sounds like that should be fine. I mentioned the case of the letter. Yeah, the question is what kind of letter is exactly what. Let's say he's not going to get it till after Moed. Today everything is so quick in an instant. But some say that's based on not having a Torah. So then it's another permission. Even if it's not Tzarech HaMoed, it's not like a big deal. That's why an email or text can be also viewed in that way. If you go with the approach that you don't need a Tircha, it has to be Tircha, there's no Tircha. Yeah.
It is better to make a phone call or something.
So I've heard people say that. I hear. In other words, preferable to make a phone call more than a text. Okay, it could be that, it's not necessarily you have to do that, but I hear this far. Maybe I saw it somewhere too, I don't remember who said it. Tavkuf membeis is the idea of when you do work, it should not be for pay. Even that which is mutan chalamoid, for yourself, for others, you should not charge for it. Mishnah Berurah says why? Because it's called uvda dachal. Mishnah Berurah there is sivkat and beis. It's uvda dachal. Mishnah Berurah adds, if you can get it for free, then you can pay. The Ramah says, davar ha'aved, big heter of the Ramah, davar aved, you can do even b'schar. Bir halacha says it's not clear cut that that should be so, but Ramah paskins that way, that it's mutter b'schar. So this is why they discuss a babysitter. Poskim can today discuss, can a babysitter take money for watching kids on Chol HaMoed? So there are different studim lahakel here. Some say, I saw Shmuel Zalman, Shmiras Shabbos says, Perek Samach Vav HaRakuf Samach, that it's called like Shmiras HaGuf, watching kids is like Chol Nefesh, Ochot Tzorach HaGuf. So therefore, it doesn't have the problem of getting money, because that would be allowed. Melachas Ochot Nefesh, for others you can take schar for. Therefore, he says a doctor could get paid for what he does for Tzorach HaGuf. It's like Ochot Nefesh. Others say it's mutter, it's not really a Torah. If it's not a Torah, you can get money for it. Only a Melachas Torah, you can't take money for it. Another issue, Tavkuf Mem Gimel, is Amiru La'akum. We know on Shabbos and Isra Amiru La'akum. So whatever is Asr and Chol HaMoed generally is Asr even to tell Goy to do as well. The Mishnah Berurah says, Asu Chachamim Moed Kishabbos V'yantif. However, when it comes to Tzorach Mitzvah, so when it comes to Shabbos, Tzorach Mitzvah per se doesn't automatically permit Amiru La'akum. There are also Rishonim who say that Tzorach Mitzvah is Matir. We usually assume it has to be two things. What's called Shvus, the Shvus B'makom Mitzvah. We hold the halacha that it has to be, number one, that the malacha that the guy is doing is a malacha d'Rabbanan. And then, Amiru La'akum is d'Rabbanan. So it's Shvus, the Shvus. You're asking a guy, which is a Shvus, to do a d'Rabbanan with Tzorach Mitzvah. That is Mutter. And B'makom Tzorach. However, if he's doing a malacha d'Oraisa, like putting on incandescent lights or whatever it is, then it's not enough to say Amiru La'akum is mutter, unless, again, you have to know what would be allowed. Derech Remez and whatever. So now, with Chol HaMoed, we don't say. We say the bar is lower. Even though we don't usually go with that shita that Makom Mitzvah is mutter by itself, here, the Makom Mitzvah is mutter. Befrat, if you consider the fact that many Rishonim hold that even the very Malacha b'Chol HaMoed, whatever it might be, even if it's a Malacha d'Oraisa per se, but the very Malacha on Chol HaMoed is the Rabbanan. You have that as well to bring into the mix. So therefore, Makom Mitzvah is clearly mutter. Okay, so that's as far as Amiru La'akum is concerned. Good. Pragmatia is up. Now, these are the categories of Malacha that we went through very quickly. Now we talk about the Rabbanans. Separate from the malachas, which might be d'oraisa, might not be d'oraisa, there are certain gzeros that were made on Chol HaMoed. One, gzeros pragmatia. It's a Gemara, a Daf Yud, pragmatia asr. What's pragmatia? Pragmatia means doing business. That's an issa d'rabbanan. Davar ha'aved is mutter by pragmatia as well, certainly, because even on d'oraisa malacha, you have davar ha'aved is mutter. Ochel nefesh is also mutter. What is the problem of pragmatia? Mishnah Berurah says, based on Rishonim, Mipnei Torah. Here you see an example of something that Chachamim asked specifically based on Torah. Other Rishonim say the reason is Shema Yechtov, a Gzeira, you might end up writing. Chashulchan thinks it's based on the whole general principle that we've been talking about, that you want Yantif to have a spirit of Simchas Yantif and Torah, and if you're going to start doing business, it's going to create, an undermining of the whole spirit of the day. So Torah HaMoed, of course, is Mutter. Here you have issues of Bitsinibris Bifarhesia. This is why you find sometimes stores that are open but not quite open. You see the gates half open, half closed, and they're especially. This is the Inyan of Pragmatia to do with Bitsina. If you're selling something that's not with Tzorach HaMoed, so L'chore, it should be an issue. But someone at Taina that it could be a Dava Oved Heter. Why? Because if your customers are going to stop coming to you for these few days, then you're going to lose your customers after Yantiv 2. So maybe that could come under Davar Aved. You're going to end up losing money if you're not going to do this Malacha or this Pragmatia, then you have to know what we call Davar Aved, but that could be a Svar. There's a Heter for Pragmatia by Shayara. Shayara is a special Kesugya that the Gemara discusses. It has to do with the idea that if there's a major sale that's happening and the price after Yantiv is going to be way, way higher, and now the opportunity presents itself, that would be a special heter. And this is, of course, very relevant for shopping on Chol Moed. So if you're not shopping with Tzarech HaMoed, you're not supposed to be shopping on Chol Moed. But if the sale is a major sale, 50% off, and it's clearly going to expire, and after Yom Tov, you're not going to get that price, that would be a heter to do business, to buy something, Chol Moed, that would be normally not with Tzarech HaMoed, but it would be mutter because of the fact that, you know, it's like a davar avi type of situation. But Moshe says it even includes a case where you wouldn't otherwise buy it. It's not like you would buy it, but you spend much more, and now you're saving money by buying it at half price. Even if you would only buy it because it's half price. But Moshe says, but Lamaisa, it's not going to be half price after Yom Tov. So then you can buy it on Yom Tov. Okay, it can be nagea again, shopping on the internet, and all of this is all part of pragmatia. Okay, that's one issa d'rabbanan. Now let's talk quickly about a couple of gzeros we alluded to before that have to do with Chol HaMoed. This is the issur of giluach, of shaving and taking haircuts in Chol HaMoed, and the issur of doing laundry Chol HaMoed, and then a question regarding cutting nails, which is machlokas, whether that was part of the gzera or not. What's the basis of this gzera, Perek Eil Megalchin? What is the basis of the gzera? Special gzera, a person should not enter Yom Tov with being disgusting and not having done the proper cleaning of the clothing and of themselves, of being groomed before Yom Tov. So this is therefore an isser on Yom Tov, whether you do it yourself, whether you go have a guy do it, as we said before, it doesn't matter, it's usser. When did Chazal permit it? So there are cases, specific cases in Mishnah outlines where a person came out of prison, for example, there was no way they could have done the giluach before Yom Tov. So that's why they were there, they never made the gzera. Comes Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam is machadesh, that there's something else that would also be permitted, even though the Mishnah didn't state it. Says Rabbeinu Tam, let's say the person taka shaved before Yom Tov. So then it would be mutter to shave on Yom Tov, because the whole reason why they made a gzera not to shave on Chol HaMoed was because we want a person to make sure to shave before Yom Tov. No, if you taka shave before Yom Tov, then there should be no reason that they should ask you. So this chiddush Rabbeinu Tam was not accepted by the other Rishonim. The Tur and other Rishonim did not feel that should matter. Even if a person shaved before Yom Tov, it would still be an issur to shave on Yom Tov. No, the Yehuda wanted to push a little bit Rabbeinu Tam in certain cases, that even though Rishon didn't agree with him, that he thought we should give more weight to Rabbeinu Tam. Then the issue comes up for us. When Moshe has a tshuva in Igros Moshe Aleph Kuf Samach Gimel, that L'chora today, the whole basis of the Gzera doesn't, for people who shave pretty regularly, so the whole reason for the Gzera shouldn't apply, because people taka shave before Yom Tov, comes 2 days later, in a regular weekday, they would be shaving. They'd be shaving every other day or every day. So Lamaisa, everyone knows you shave before Yom Tov, and everyone, and there's no reason to think that you shouldn't be able to shave on Yom Tov based on that gzera, because Lamaisa, you did shave before Yom Tov, and you're always shaving every day or two. So Rav Moshe heard, he accepted the logic, but Sof Kol Sof, he didn't want to be matirit carte blanche, but he did say that if a person has a tzorach biyoser, I think you heard his words, it's very impressing that the person should shave, or he's mitzdayer biyoser, then Rav Moshe thought, then, under those circumstances, he would hold the halacha. Now, the Rav, and Rav Shechter quotes this and says this over, I think, quite often, it's Rav Nefesh HaRav, Kuf Peites, the Rav thought that based on this logic, it shouldn't just be maybe mutter, but he would tie that it should be dafka mitzvah to shave kovet yantav. If the gzera doesn't apply, then you really should dafka enter into Yom Tov Acharon, or Shvishal Pesach, having shaved. So therefore, the Rav would actually encourage his Talmidim, and the Rav Shechter, I think, does the same, that people could shave. Lemaisa, most poskim don't go this far. Rav Nevin Shai, I believe, did not feel that even for a date that a person should shave Chol HaMoed. And many poskim feel that Lemaisa, the Isser was, there was a Gzera made, and therefore, notwithstanding the fact that sociologically speaking today, we are different, that we do shave regularly, but therefore, most poskim, I think, don't go as far as saying that one should shave, Dafka should shave. And you have a Moshe who says that in a very, very pressing situation, maybe it would be permitted. You have a Moshe's Tshuva, and you have the Rav who says, Dafka, that you could and should, but this is what we have in this issue. I think Moshe Mizamel is also Machmir on this as well. But again, this is an interesting idea. Regarding laundry, so the halacha is straight in the Mishnah that are towels and things like that that constantly get dirty, not included in the Gzera. Same thing is true by big dektanin, soiled garments, they constantly get soiled. So again, you could have washed it before Yom Tov, but again, it's going to constantly have to be washed, and therefore those things don't go into the gzera. What age do you say is the cutoff for a child is not so clear. Postmen try to wrestle with this. As long as they get their stuff dirty, or maybe a certain age should be the cutoff. There is a question I saw as far as Mabit B'shiurim. Let's say you're going to put into the laundry machine the soiled towels that anyway you clean regularly, and you ran out of towels and you need it for Yontif, and it's constantly, you did wash it before Yontif, and the kids' diet, the kids' clothing, can you throw in your own stuff as well? Pashtus, Ramosha didn't think you'd be allowed. Mabit B'shiurim, he thought it would be usher, others maybe a mako, but Ramosha didn't think so. Cutting nails is a machokas Ramah and the Machaber. The Machaber says it's mutter, Sfardim would cut their nails. On Chalomay, the Ramah says it's usser. The Mishabur says, however, and this is interesting, using Rabbi Nutan, if you cut your nails, maybe we'll dive in here. Is that okay? We'll dive in here because we'll go another 2-3 minutes. Unless, because it's going to be, otherwise it's going to be, we'll see. Okay. According to the Mishabura, Tafkof Gamibay Sekandei, if you cut your nails before Yantif, then you can cut your nails on Chalmud, even according to the Ramah. Because here already we have Rabbeinu Tam, who anyway says that any time you did what you did before Yantif, you did, then you could do it on Chalmud. So therefore, and it's Machokas anyway about whether you can cut your, whether cutting nails is part of the Gzeira for this issue. So therefore, he would say that would be permitted. Tefillin b'Chalmud, I mentioned a little bit before, the Beis Yosef writes, now that the Zohar has been discovered, we should never wear tefillin chalamoid. However, we all know that there are shittas that hold that nafka you could and should. I found something interesting last night from Rav Moshe. In the Sefer Masoras Moshe, where they bring the Mordechai Tendler, his grandson has diaries of things that he wrote about when he was Meshamesh Rav Moshe. So he says something interesting. Rav Moshe thought, first of all, I was under the impression, Rav Moshe felt that to have a minyan which is split, yesh v'yesh, is not a losis godedu, because everyone knows that this is the way it is today, and our kehila structure is really not the same as it was. Could be that he does give credence to that, but the way it was brought here, he found it like that really in one minyan should be consistent, whichever direction. So if the minyan's not wearing tefillin, you should put it on privately, but not together, or daven in Ezra's Nashim with tefillin, or vice versa. If the minyan is wearing tefillin, you should daven without tefillin in Ezra's Nashim, or dafka, maybe wear tefillin, which is not such an iser. Then he said the following, that the Ashkenazim, the Yekis, always wore tefillin. By the way, in Pesach, the first Chol HaMoed, some of them even keep it on for Kriyas HaTorah, because Kriyas HaTorah mentions the mitzvah of tefillin. So some even take it off after Hallel, after Kriyas HaTorah, even between the two leanings, between the first Sefer Torah and the second. But anyway, most people who wear tefillin take it off before Hallel. In any case, he said that in the Yekis all wore tefillin with a bracha. That was a German minhag based on the Rishonim who hold that you wear tefillin chalamoid. In Poland and Lita, where the Graz Hashpoya was very great, and the Graz, of course, the one who holds Hashpoya in Eretz Yisrael today, don't get caught walking at the shul like I once did many, many years ago with tefillin, because I wear tefillin without a bracha, but the minhag Graz is koveh berabim, not to wear tefillin, says Rav Moshe, in Poland and Lita, the Hashpoya of the girl was so great, and therefore people stopped making a bracha on the tefillin, because Safik Brachas Lahakel said they didn't make a bracha, even though he says the Gra never said to Mishana the Minig, Ad Kedekach that in Vilna, says Rav Moshe, they wore tefillin. So the Gra said not to wear tefillin Chol Moed, the Shita, but in Vilna they wore tefillin, because the Gra did not make and insist that they change the Minig, but because of the Hashpoya of the Gra, it became a kubo not to make a bracha. Where those make a bracha, make it belachash, but they were choshesh linyan bracha for the gra, and he says halacha l'maisa based on that. Suppose a person, you know, not realizing, made the bracha l'haniach. Now the gra anyway holds you only make one bracha anyway, like the those who make only one bracha, not mitzvah, but in the gra to say two brachas, Rabbi Notam. So let's say you made l'haniach. Oops, I shouldn't have made a bracha. I don't make a bracha chol ma'id on my tefillin. Says Rav Moshe, you make al mitzvah as well. Amazing. He says, if you shouldn't forget, you should remember not to say. You should remember not to say the bracha, unless your minhag is to make the bracha. As I mentioned to Tisha yesterday, the Rebbe used to say, for this issue, the Rebbe is not the one to tell you what to do, unless you have no masor whatsoever, and maybe then. But basically, the father should be the one to make the determination. Your minhag, your family minhag, sha'alu v'yichad yageitcha, should be koveya, whether or not to wear tefillin chol hamoed. Everyone should have a chag, kosher, v'sameach. Are you done with mincha now? Yeah?
Okay. It's asr to drag me in front of the water. It's asr. Is that driving? We do that.
Da, 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 da. There you go, there you go.